Random House Audio presents Confessions of a Sociopath, A Life Spent Hiding in Plain Sight by M.E. Thomas. Read for you by Bernadette Sullivan. Author's note: this book is a work of memoir. It is a true story according to my best recollections. However, in addition to the inevitable flaws of memory, this story is told through the lens of how I see the world, including my megalomania, single-minded focus, and a lack of understanding about the inner worlds of others. I have chosen to publish this book under a pseudonym, and I have changed the names and identifying characteristics of my family and friends, and certain other people mentioned in the book, to protect their privacy. In some instances, I disguised settings and rearranged and/or compressed events and time periods in service of the narrative. Otherwise, this is a true and honest account, and I have not knowingly misrepresented any material facts. Psychological Evaluation Excerpt. Ms. Thomas is a 30-year-old Caucasian female seeking an assessment of her personality, particularly in regards to the presence or absence of psychopathic traits. Across multiple self-report inventories tapping both normal range and pathological personality characteristics, Ms. Thomas scored beyond the 99th percentile of the community normative data. Her presentation in many regards could be considered that of a prototypical psychopathic personality. Additionally, the results of the PCLSV assessment largely converge with this description, particularly in regards to the affective and interpersonal features displayed by Ms. Thomas, such as a pronounced lack of empathy, a ruthless and calculating attitude towards social and interpersonal relationships, and a relative immunity to experiencing negative emotions. Most notable in Ms. Thomas's clinical presentation were pronounced elevations on scales tapping antisocial and psychopathic traits, particularly egocentrism and sensation-seeking characteristics, interpersonal dominance, verbal aggression, and excessive self-esteem, as well as very low scores on measures tapping negative affective experiences, e.g. phobias, traumatic stressors, depressive symptoms, interpersonal nurturance, and stressful life events. Here again, her overall profile reflected a constellation of personality characteristics and interpersonal style, highly consistent with current conceptualizations of psychopathy. Although cognizant that she is different from most people she knows in terms of her personality structure, Ms. Thomas does not view herself as disordered in the sense of suffering from a form of mental illness per se. Quite the contrary. She seems content with her lifestyle and its current trajectory, and rather blasé about many issues and concerns that might cause others some degree of uncertainty or distress. Of course, such attitudes are emblematic of individuals who are highly psychopathic. By all accounts, Ms. Thomas has thus far experienced relatively few objective, or subjective, negative consequences associated with being highly psychopathic, and in many regards appears to have excelled across various life domains, e.g. academic, occupational. This suggests that one might describe her as a socialized or successful psychopath, or at least a relatively non-maladaptive variant of this personality pattern. John F. Edens, Ph.D., Professor, Department of Psychology, Texas A&M University. Chapter 1. I'm a sociopath, and so are you. If my life were a television show, it would start like this. It's a pleasantly warm summer day in a beautiful southern clime. Sunlight glints off ripples in the pool. The sliding door opens with a gentle rumble. A young woman steps out in her flip-flops and a black Speedo swimming suit. Her dark hair hits just below muscular swimmer's shoulders. Her skin is darkly tanned from lifeguarding at the local municipal pool. She is neither pretty nor ugly, of medium build and with no prominent features. She looks like an athlete. There's a clumsy tomboyishness about the way she moves, an emotional disconnect with her body. She does not appear to have any feelings about her body, good or bad. She is used to being near naked, the way athletes are. Today, she is giving a private swim lesson. She flings a towel on a deck chair and kicks off her sandals. There's a casual recklessness about the way she does these things, as if letting loose wayward objects into the world with abandon. That's when she notices the ripples on the surface of the water. She sees that there is something moving in the pool. It is so small that she doesn't recognize it until she's close. A baby opossum, probably only a week old, its tiny pink paws frantically paddling, its even tinier pink nose struggling above the surface of the water. The poor thing must have fallen into the pool in the night. It is too little to thrust its tiny body up and over the nearest ledge. The baby's muscles quake with exhaustion. Even its tiny sparkling eyes look tired. It is on the brink of succumbing to fatigue. The young woman moves quickly, sliding her sandals back on, and pauses for a moment at the top of the deck. She grabs a net and heads toward the opossum. The camera cuts in as the net lowers, dipping into the surface of the water, catching the baby opossum under the belly just in front of its hind legs. With a quick, almost effortless movement, the net drags the opossum under the surface until its head is fully submerged. The animal thrashes, its tired body now alert to a new threat. It struggles loudly, whimpering and squealing, until it finally manages to free its hindquarters from the lip of the net. But it's barely able to gasp a breath before the net comes down again. The angle of the net is awkward, though, and the animal is able to writhe out of its trap. The young woman sighs, and the net is lifted. The baby opossum feels relief wash over it for a fraction of a second, only to resume its desperate paddling against the water. The young woman drops the net on the ground, grabs her towel, and heads back inside. Moments later, she is on the phone with her private student. Today's lesson is canceled. There is something wrong with the pool. She grabs her keys, flings her front door open, and skips down the stairs to the muscle car that she's been driving since her 16th birthday. The V8 engine stutters for just a moment, then roars to life. She slams the transmission into reverse, just barely dodging the other cars in the driveway, then takes off, ready to make the most of a newly free summer afternoon. When she returns home at dusk, she sees a dark shadow at the bottom of the pool. She grabs the same net, manages to scoop up the small bundle on the first try, and pitches it over the fence into her neighbor's yard. She drops an extra chlorine tablet into the pool and heads inside. The camera lingers on the placid pool, no longer interrupted by frantic waves. Fade to black. I am a sociopath. Through dual quirks of genetics and environment, I suffer from what psychologists now refer to as antisocial personality disorder. Characterized in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, DSM, as a pervasive pattern of disregard for and violation of the rights of others. Key among the characteristics of the diagnosis are a lack of remorse, a penchant for deceit, and a failure to conform to social norms. I prefer to define my sociopathy as a set of traits that inform my personality, but don't define me. I am generally free of entangling and irrational emotions. I am strategic and canny. I am intelligent and confident and charming. But I also struggle to react appropriately to other people's confusing and emotion-driven social cues. Psychopathy and sociopathy are terms with an intertwined clinical history, and they are largely now used interchangeably, though some academics distinguish between the two based on genetics, aggression, or other factors. I have chosen to call myself a sociopath because of the negative connotations of psycho in the popular culture. I may have a disorder, but I'm not crazy. I can trace the likely genetic link through my father to his birth father, who was known for being an exceptionally cold man. My grandfather's heavily scarred face attested to his impulsiveness and penchant for risk-taking and violence. He was literally a rocket scientist, but fancied himself a cowboy. He spent all of his inherited wealth on a ranch.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?